Rebels listening to us in the great state of Missouri. They are dealing with some nasty things. Lots of evacuation, deadly floods. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How often do we sadly start this show with some sort of disaster? I feel compelled because we got great people listening to us all over that state. And they say 25 rescues, 100 people that were pulled from houses overnight. Heavy, heavy rain just saturated Missouri. The governor called out the National Guard because the floods were just that bad. Hollister, which is near Branson and the Arkansas state line, there's a creek that actually goes through the center of the town. Boom, up to 15 feet. Amazingly, no one injured in that one. Then if you go a little bit north in Waynesville, sadly, a four-year-old was killed along with his mother. And this was because their car was swept into the creek. Always the danger of the car, not realizing how deep the water is. There was a distress call made from the cell phone, and then hours later they found the little boy, and it's just terrible. Then there was another woman killed when her car was swept out by an overflowing creek outside of Jane, and that's in the southwest area of Missouri. So all over the place they've been dealing really with hellish rains, heavy, heavy rain. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you've got rivers that are overflowing and all that kind of stuff. Parts of 44 were closed. And if you know anything about the road, that just cuts right through from St. Louis to Oklahoma. And it was just nasty, nasty mess. Central Missouri, they were talking about the fact that you're talking about flood stages, 32 feet, 12 feet above the flood stage. And the National Weather Service is predicting more thunderstorms, sadly, Thursday night happening now into Friday morning, and then Saturday again. If you're in Missouri, give us a call. Give us an update on how you're all doing. 855-266-5283. Floods are tough. Floods are tough. Wanting to get out, sandbagging, how far creeks overflow, that kind of stuff. And as I already said, the governor called out the National Guard, declared a state of an emergency, and ordered 50 military police to help with the helping people, trying to rescue people that were on rooftops, that kind of stuff, and people that were submerged in water, and they were able to pull them out of water. You know, it's not just Missouri, too, by the way. Tennessee and Nashville, they had 200-some water rescues, and only one person, though, was injured here. It's when you hear these stories about the cars and kids in the cars and families that get sucked up into that and how awful it is. I was looking at a weather map before we went onto the air, and the rainfall is exactly what I just said. It's just crazy. They're talking about more inches. And, you know, then that the waters recede, but then in those basements and stuff, that hangs around, and then you're pumping out the basements. And, you know, it's interesting. I just went through this. And as much as I pound people about the car thing, I was just in Philadelphia, a week and a half ago, and they had the biggest storm that they had ever had rainfall-wise, 8.5 inches of rain that fell within a couple of hours, and I was right there in downtown Philly coming up over the Walt Whitman Bridge, and sure enough, there was an underpass that was flooded. There were cars that were probably 6-7 cars stalled out on the side of the road. There was a tow truck there, people pulling them out. A guy waved me over to get away from the deeper part of where the water was. I made it through, but it was pretty scary. And it's exactly what I say. Even where water collects, you're never quite sure. And this was because here you had had the, you just had an area where the water was not draining. And that's another thing that happens to people, too. It sounds like mostly in Missouri, a lot of this is because of the massive amounts of rain that are causing the creeks to overflow and rivers and all that kind of stuff. That seems to be the biggest problem. Coming up on America Tonight, our biggest problem is, who do we trust? Who do we believe? How worried should we be about these threats? You know, we heard earlier in the week that all this chatter is reminiscent of what we heard before 9/11. So these threats that led to closing all these embassies over this weekend and still closed, that what we heard from people who have had eyes on it, a couple of different senators, is that this is stuff we should really be worried about. Then you had the president who chose to go on Jay Leno and have his first thoughts, you know, say his first feelings about these terror threats. And he said, you know, we're not going to retreat from abroad. We don't get terrorized. And then you wonder what, how bad are these Al-Qaeda operatives? Well, we're going to talk to Chris Simmons, who is somebody who is one of the preeminent counterterrorism people that we've ever had. And he tells us that so much of this is nonsense. In fact, even shooting down what somebody had recently told me, that there was much more cooperation between the FBI and the CIA, and he says there isn't, and that's part of the problem, but talks about a couple of other things happening as far as Al-Qaeda and saying it's, you know, we got rid of the biggest threats, and in fact it's not as threatening and worrisome as it was in the past. So why do we have people in Washington telling us that we should be scared out of our socks and closing one consulate and one embassy after another? And that we're seeing that, you know, in Yemen, 3 drone strikes, more people killed, more threats, supposedly, killing 12, hitting those targets, 12 people. You know, these militants that apparently had plans to do something, right? And then the whole idea of the chatter, why would the chatter be out there for the taking if they, you know, they're not stupid. If they didn't want us to know, why would they have specific chatter that we would pick up? So drone attacks, by the way, have killed 34 suspected militants since July 27th. That's how many. So it's the body count is adding up. The Obama administration is ramping up, obviously, the targeting of Al-Qaeda affiliates in the Arabian Peninsula, especially after supposedly intercepting the message between the leader and the global leader of the terror network for what, you know, that's worth. And, I mean, is this person dead, and what does that ultimately mean? By the way, the drone program, because somebody asked me this, is, of course, the Pentagon's Joint Special Ops Command and the Central Intelligence Agency, and the military flies the drones out of Djibouti while the CIA has them come in from a base in Saudi Arabia. And obviously they hit several marks in Yemen, and Pakistan is the latest, by the way. The Pakistan embassy in Lahore is the latest one to be closed because of these threats. So Chris Simmons, he's coming up at the bottom of the hour to flush it all out for us. Can't wait for you to hear him. One of the best guests I've had on to drill down the information that I think you're going to find fascinating. Stay with us on the flip side. Going to fill you in on a couple of other odds and ends on the day. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. You have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Woohoo! Getting close for another weekend. That means movies, movies, movies. We have our cheap movie review coming up in our next hour. You never want to miss that. And it's also an invitation for you. If you see a good movie and or rent a good movie, send me an email at americatonight.net. Click on contact, and there's a chance we'll use your movie review, and you could win some fabulous prizes. I go through stages where I watch a lot of movies, you know, just to relax, and it's sort of like a mind dump. It's all of a sudden a whole bunch of movies and then nothing for a period of time, and I'm trying to think the movie that I want to see, which would be a rental now, is Oblivion. I'm iffy on Tom Cruise, but this movie is supposedly quite clever, and it's a futuristic movie, and it's supposed to be a pretty decent movie. So I may be watching that sometime when I get a couple of hours to carve out to watch Oblivion. But sometimes it's worth seeing something on the big screen, too. This is part of Odds and Ends, and part of Odds and Ends sometimes is Bad Boys. So let's head to Bad Boys here on ATN. Hey, speaking of Bad Boys, just a quick aside. One of my favorite shows is a show that this is its last season. It's on AMC, and it's called Breaking Bad. I think it's brilliant. It's nasty. I mean, nasty in the sense that it has to do with meth labs and this teacher who went off the rails, and I can't even do it justice by explaining the show to you if you haven't seen it, but it is the ultimate Bad Boys show. Let's just say that. And along those lines of meth and marijuana and that kind of stuff, how about Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who seems so squeaky clean? We see him in all these events, tragedy strikes. He's there. He's talking about the medical problems associated with XYZ. And he's says he's been skeptical about the medical benefits of marijuana. He's got a documentary that's going to air called Weed. And he's saying that he has changed his mind. He's saying that he doesn't think that it's, you know, he's pushing marijuana all over the place. But he's saying that if you dig further into the issue, and he said he didn't dig far enough, he was too dismissive. And now he's seeing what marijuana has done, the benefits for patients, so that he's not dismissing it anymore. He's saying that it's good for people when they're in dire straits, cancer, that kind of stuff, that there is some relief to that. So he thinks there's the realization is that we need to reconsider our views. And supposedly he said he smoked a little pot. He tried pot. He tried pot. Cannabis. So I'll be curious as to the benefits of it. I'll be curious as to what he means by that. And he's talking about medical marijuana, too, by the way, and then the legalization and all that kind of stuff. All right, here's your real ultimate bad boys. Two men arrested by the Canadian police Thursday in the case of a teenage girl who died. That was following a suicide attempt after months of cyberbullying. They've been charged. That's a good thing. This whole cyberbullying with kids, it's just awful. One of them was charged with two counts of distributing child pornography. The other was charged with making and distributing child pornography. So the death of Retta Parsons, rather, a 17-year-old girl from Halifax, Nova Scotia, got a lot of attention because of the distressing, disturbing issue of bullying on the Internet, where cell phone photos and other things circulate through Facebook and social networking. So she was taken off life support after that suicide attempt that her parents said followed months of harassment in the wake of that November sexual assault when she was 15. Cell phone photos circulated among schoolmates on social media websites, all that kind of stuff. So there was an investigation, and the men arrested and charged in the case are due in youth court in a couple of weeks, and they weren't identified because they were minors at the time of the offense when it happened. And now in Canada, too, there is a more severe cyberbullying law that just kicked in Nova Scotia, the first that they've had in Canada. And under this new law in that country, anyone who feels they are being harassed on the web can seek a restraining order or sue on behalf of themselves or their kids. Can you imagine? So they're not putting up with it, and part of it is because of what happened with her. And sadly, this happens more than we probably know. It's great that they got them, and we'll see what happens with the charges and the sentencing and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because it's just awful. And then doing the social media thing on top of it is it's terrible. You know, and it's a rough time for kids anyway. I can't imagine what it'd be like being a teenager now, or even raising a teenager, just scared to death that they're, you know, somebody in their core group, they get outside of that core group that you know, and they somebody shakes them up. Unbelievable. All right, so this would also go along with bad boys, too. It seems that Odds and Ends is turning into that. Anthony Weiner, this guy so needs to step out of the limelight, you know. Here's what's going on now. He's getting kind of ornery as he's out there and getting tough questions and whatnot. So he mocks this British journalist and apparently just like ripped her, belittling her, whatever. Told her to get a hobby while he was canvassing in Harlem on Thursday night. So he started on the 17th floor of an upper Manhattan apartment building, worked his way down, knocking on doors and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, there was heavy media presence. And when he finally got out of the building, there were just a few people few supporters who were saying they would vote for him. He did a brief interview with a female British journalist in the lobby, and he said, it's hard to take you seriously. The ITV reporter had the question asking if a hunger for the big job was what motivated him to continue his campaign in the wake of the latest rounds of sexting admissions. And he says, I just have a feeling I stepped into a Monty Python movie, he told the this woman after laughing at a question about what could stop his candidacy. But he wasn't laughing so much afterwards when the media just increased that much more. And he's been kind of having a cantankerous relationship with him. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. His numbers are falling. His poll numbers, after he admitted that he continued inappropriate internet stuff, caused him to resign from Congress in 2011. How does this idiot even think that he's going to be elected mayor? If the people in New York elected him mayor, then they need to get a life. And the reason is because, listen, how do you take someone like that seriously when he doesn't even honor what he says? The guy has no honor. And there's no way I would trust him to stick to whatever it is he says he's going to do. It's a mess. If he's smart, he would have stepped away. That's what he should have done. And the only reason he admits anything is because he's caught at it. And once he's caught, then he does the same old thing that he does. Well, we're having problems with my marriage, whatever. Oh, man. It's funny because we've had Bob Wiener, his cousin, on the show, who's a brilliant guy and has done some amazing things in D.C., and he just shakes his head at his cousin. It's like, you know, what can I tell you? It makes no sense. I don't understand what Anthony was thinking, and he certainly probably can't understand what's happening this second go-around. All right, coming up, as promised, Chris Simmons, in the wings, counterterrorism expert. You're going to love this guy because he really tells it like it is, even shooting down my theory that supposedly there was more cooperation based on two of my sources who say that they are having a much better relationship with the guys across the street. He talks about fear and that the terror threat really isn't that big. Wow. Next.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Flex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind a marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Big lockdown and shaking Americans out of Yemen and whatnot. And we've talked to many who have been buried underneath the surface over the years that have told us some unbelievable things. Really excited about our next guest. We're talking about counterterrorism measures, things that have happened in the past, things that, you know, how do you profile these terrorist groups? What, how do you assess some of these threats that we've talked about for a very long time? Chris Simmons is a counterintelligence expert, and in fact, he created the now trademark. It's always a big deal when you get something trademarked. I just went through that paradigm called human chess. It's based on his unique life experience that, you know, all the experiences that enabled him to become one of the most successful counterintelligence officers of the last half century. Chris, again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So first, before we get into this whole thing of what's going in Yemen and the lockdown on the embassies and all that kind of stuff, in your career in counterintelligence and leading up to the things that now we've seen that have happened since 9/11 and right before 9/11, have you ever seen so much rabid activity and more of the sharing now supposedly between the agencies? I have a friend that's in the FBI and a friend in the CIA, and they said, you know, before, you really wouldn't walk across the street and have a cup of coffee with your brother in the other organization. He says now it's starting to gel a little bit more. Is that because we were shook up from 9/11, or what's changed, do you think?
I would disagree that the cooperation is that much better than it was. I spent a year in Iraq and then followed that with time in Afghanistan, and from what I saw, the lack of cooperation between agencies was as bad as it's ever been.
Ooh. All right, so different point of view. Those two didn't have that experience. You're having that, but you're in the field. They weren't in the field. They were more desk jockeys in the office, too. So that lack of cooperation, I mean, supposedly when we formed Homeland Security, that was supposed to all change. What do you attribute that to?
The reality driving the lack of cooperation is the money behind the war on terror. And so there are many people that believe that a victory by another agency is going to cost your agency money. And so there's an institutional bias to not cooperate, do it yourself, even if it's redundant, because that's how you justify these huge budgets.
Yeah. The when you were in Iraq, were you there after the surge, before the surge? What did you see when you were there?
I was there in 2004 and 2005, and I mean, we broke the back of Al-Qaeda during those years. That's not to say that they aren't still capable of attacks. Clearly they are. But there's so much hysteria associated with acts of terrorism that it's really hard to get to the truth of a handful. Look at Boston. Two whack jobs in Boston brought New England to a standstill. And what we're seeing, for example, in Yemen right now, we, the U.S., have killed 34 suspected Al-Qaeda in 2 weeks. And Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which is what they call the group in Yemen, is supposed to be one of the strongest, most organized threats there is. And they couldn't even organize the attack that was supposed to occur over the weekend against diplomatic facilities. So I think there's a lot of people that the war on terrorism, it's good business for a lot of people, and I hate to sound callous, but fear sells. And we knew, for example, in Iraq 8 years ago, that once we broke the back of Al-Qaeda, it wasn't so much a war on terrorism as a war on poverty. Because what Al-Qaeda was doing was going into hopeless villages and making it a jobs program, finding these villages where you'd been a goat herder because that's all your family has done since the dawn of time. And they would come in and say, if we get six men to volunteer, we'll build a school, we'll build a clinic, we'll take care of your family if you're killed. And when you're 18 and you're told you can become immortal within your village, it sells. And that's the way they got a lot of their recruits back then. But telling people we're fighting a war on poverty, it doesn't sell. No one wants to fight that war. They want to go fight terrorists. And the Al-Qaeda that pulled off 9/11 hasn't existed in a long time.
Well, interesting, because, Chris, as you know, and you're playing this, as you say, fear sells, and that's what we're getting now with the closures of the embassies, as you know, like the 19 embassies closed down. They're saying some of them could be closed for 4 weeks, and that there's all these possible terror threats, and a couple of different senators and even a congressman or two said they looked at the information of where the targets were, and they were astonished, and it was information that was pre-9/11, things that they wish they had paid attention to then before 9/11, insinuating that, geez, we could have another one of these things on our hands. So that kind of goes along with what you're saying.
It does, and you always hear that mantra of, we're one step away from the next 9/11.
Yeah.
No, we're not. And again, I'll go back to the current strikes in Yemen. According to the government sources in Yemen and in the U.S., they're based on the intercept of cell phones. I find that ludicrous, because Al-Qaeda, better than anyone, knows how well we are intercepting phone calls. And again, 10 years ago, the use of burn phones in Iraq was huge. And what a burn phone involves is you get a disposable phone for $10. The terrorists would use it for one day and then either destroy it or give it to somebody else so the phone still stays active. And then they email, using something like Pretty Good Protection, any number of commercial systems, they email their buddy and tell them tomorrow, what they'll do is they'll use a one-time email account, email their buddy, tell them tomorrow my phone number will be this, and for $300 a month, they've gone through 30 phones, and they are invisible to NSA.
Yeah, and you know, and so that is pretty true of even stuff that we've seen. Yeah, and you probably saw it. How accurate was Zero Dark 30? And of course, they showed some of that there. And this is in the capture of, well, going after Osama bin Laden. As somebody who was in the middle of that stuff around you, obviously, how accurate was that accounting?
I honestly did not even waste my time going to see the movie.
Because it wasn't, right?
Based on the interagency relations we had, it was an impossibility.
Yeah. How do you, and when you did this in the field, and you've already told us a few things, but what are the ways that you profile? How do you profile terrorist groups?
The profiling is actually fairly easy because people are creatures of habit. And so all you really need to do is find one or two. And then you watch their patterns, because no matter who you are, in many cases, half your day is going to be habitual. And so once you know, let's say you've got surveillance on one suspected terrorist, you establish his baseline, and then once you know what his habit is, and there's an escalation, because it's not just what does he or she do all day, it's who do they call. And I can tell you that most people, there's going to be about five people that they devote most of their phone time to. And so it's simply a matter of carefully watching, and you will know. I mean, it's a life in statistics. It's, you know, this suspected terrorist makes 15 phone calls a day to these seven people, and they last this long. And so once you've got your baseline, all you do is put it in a computer and set it for anomalies, so that anytime there's a spike in phone calls, you know, he or she goes somewhere they haven't gone before, then you lift and shift and see what's going on. And in no time, one leads to another, leads to a third. And once you start rolling them up, they start talking.
Interesting. I think what you just said, too, people listening could use that in their everyday life. You know, they say, well, your house and robbers and people casing the place. You got to shake up what you do. You got to try to break some of those habits, right?
Absolutely. But we also have to bear in mind that these people aren't stupid. Again, going back to Iraq, they know we're listening. They know we're watching.
Yeah.
And so it is nothing for them to pick up the phone and say, hey, tomorrow there's going to be a huge terrorist attack somewhere in Europe. Because they know that that little intercept is going to shut down Europe. And I would remind your listeners that back in the early days of Osama bin Laden, he never said that Al-Qaeda would beat us militarily. What he essentially said was they would do to the United States what Reagan did to the Soviet Union. And that's spend us into bankruptcy.
And boy, we're getting there, aren't we? Already are there, for sure. Wow, great.
As of right now, we spent over $5 trillion on the war on terror. That's just the financial cost. The human cost is always more important.
Yeah, it's off the chart. Chris Simmons, thanks so much. Great conversation. Love to have you on again. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my girlfriend, my son, my club, my job, my shoes, my hobby, my t-shirts, my doggy, my...
There is a false sense of security that the greatest economic crash since the Great Depression is over. But unemployment is still at a 20-year high, and until Americans are working again, the economy has not recovered. What is the smartest investment you can make? It's food. Having a supply of eFoods Direct 25-year shelf life food is your best investment for the troubled times today and the future. For 32 years, the folks at eFoods Direct have helped thousands take the trouble out of troubled times. So to celebrate our 32-year anniversary, get the best insurance possible with a special special one-time offer. A two-month food supply for only $320 and free shipping. That's 352 servings of our newest and most popular award-winning recipes at less than a dollar per serving. The 25-year shelf life allows you to lock your food cost against inflation. Call 800-409-5633 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex. The two-month supply is only available for a limited time. Call 800-409-5633 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Join us in Joshua Tree, California, August 9th through 11th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of in-depth exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. The conference will feature films, panels, lectures, workshops, and fieldwork with leading experts including Stephen Greer, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Graham Hancock, Jim Mars, Michael Tellinger, Laura Eisenhower, Jason Martell, David Wilcock, Doc Wallace, David Zareda, and many, many more of the biggest names in ufology. The conference will coincide with the Perseid meteor shower, and the Joshua Tree Retreat Center offers the perfect place for sightings through the clear desert sky. Enter to win a free ticket at contactinthedesert.com. We look forward to seeing you in Joshua Tree in August for a serious look at mounting evidence that we are not alone. For more information, go to contactinthedesert.com or call 760-365-8371.
Tonight on this hour anyway, with me, Kate Delaney, hanging out with all of you. Remember, the best way to get a hold of us, shoot me an email at americatonight.net. But if you want to throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it, you know you always can. We invite you, right of right, left of left, confused, sick of it all, join in. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. We are going to do a little sports shorts moment in a few. But before we do that, President Obama is going to hold his first solo press conference in more than 3 months on Friday before he disappears to Martha's Vineyard. And this summer has been nothing but controversy, 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 and his approval ratings are slipping. His poll numbers down 5 points since the last time he spoke to the media. That was way back in April. And, you know, you wonder, well, I can tell you, the number one question, the thing that has to be addressed, and here we were just talking to Chris Simmons there, and what he said, fear sells, people got to make some money off of this thing, right? So how big is the Middle East terror threat, and what's the progress with our fight against Al-Qaeda? So what is it? I mean, are we, Chris Simmons says it's not as big of a threat, and that they're just pumping this up, and that all the any of the big fish we slaughtered. So who are the people that are left? And we heard that we were really kicking butt when it came to Al-Qaeda. Then all of a sudden now we're not, and the embassies are closing and the consulates are closing for maybe 3-4 weeks. Then the other thing is, what about Russia, Russia, Russia? and not having the meeting with Putin, skipping the bilateral talks, and what about more leaks and all that kind of stuff, right? Another thing, NSA, Mr. President, are you being honest and straight with us about the scope of the National Security Agency's surveillance? That seems like a likely question, doesn't it? I think so. And what are they? They're going to say, well, we have all these terrorist threats and the potential terrorist threats, and so we have to do some data mining, and it's been very successful, but we're not trampling on people's personal information. Then the winter boycott over the anti-gay laws, because the White House is saying it's not weighing a boycott of the games, even though there's this global protest over this Russian law that says no to the gay community, pretty much. They can't hold gay pride rallies and all that stuff. So how could the president weigh in on this when you think of how he's backed gay marriage? But this is a legitimate question that also comes off of the Russian relationships. And then probably somebody would throw in a question. I mean, those are really the big ones. But probably if there's time, someone would throw in something along with the Middle East about Egypt. Because, yeah, are we giving them that $1.5 billion? How about it? Remember, the State Department and the European Union both said that they were concerned and troubled by the stalemate caused by the overthrow of Mohamed Morsi. So what does that mean? Could this be a civil war on the horizon? And are we really going to give them money? We'll have the latest when we pop back on the air in a couple of days and find out what the talking heads had to say on Sunday, balancing out whatever, I guess, comes out of the White House. It's really off the record that is the true information. If you get off the record stuff, and which we sometimes do here in America Tonight as much as we can, we're looking for that, the real information, thus the peeling back the onion and talking to people like Chris Simmons and others who just will tell you what I believe is the real version of what's happening, and the other stuff that we're just fed. You know, there is a propaganda machine that's working quite well in Washington, D.C. All right, I promised a little sports shorts moment, so let's do that. Sports shorts has to do with the PGA. The PGA is a major tournament when it comes to the PGA championship. Is a major tournament. Everybody watches Tiger Woods. Is he going to come up with his 15th major? He's stuck on 14, but he's won 5 tournaments this year. So he wasn't so great on Thursday. He shot a 1-over par 71. He had just 2 birdies, and he is behind Jim Furyk and Adam Scott, who are leading after the first round by 6 shots. Tiger Woods talked about what it was like for this first day out of the gate and how well he didn't really do.
Not having much of a shot on the second shot after, you know, a decent tee shot on 9. But, you know, I made a few par putts out there as well. But the round, realistically, you know, could have been under par easily. I really played well today and made some nice key putts. And, you know, the key is, you know, I left it in all the good spots, too. You know, I left it right where I wanted to leave them. So I had some free runs at putts, especially the par putts.
All right, so he's going to have to play catch-up on this second day. And this is coming off of an incredible round the week before, where he's won the tournament 8 times. That means that is your playground. You like it. It's easy. So it was easy for him. He kicked everybody in off the course pretty much with the way he played. You know, now, too, is I was just reading a story today on the waterfront. His house is sinking. He's got a waterfront home. There is a lot of jokes that can be made about that. His house is sinking. He's noticing cracks and stuff, and they have to have those beams that lift it up. Like, I think it's costing him a crazy amount of money, something like $1 million. Now, I cry no tears for Tiger Woods. What is $1 million to him? But isn't it interesting that the house is sinking? Wow. A couple of other quick sports notes, and this one to me is, you know, we do on this show Nail the Score, and I hope a lot of you participate this year in Nail the Score, because we have some great prizes to give away. And even if you're not a sports fan, I always say this. I say it a million times during the season, during the NFL season. You don't have to know football. You don't have to even like football. It's like playing a game. It's like playing bingo. We pick a game of the week. You say which team is going to win. You pick a team, and you give us a score. That's it. And it can be any score. You could think it's just a silly score, but the half the scores that end up on the board are crazy, silly scores. So there is no hard and fast rule about that. So with that coming up in the next month, really, about a month from now, we'll bring back Nail the Score on probably Thursday nights. Unless we have a lot of Thursday games, then it would be Wednesday night. With that in the wings, you know, it's interesting about the NFL getting set, getting ready, is now they're having this excessive celebration rule. They're really pushing this. And I just don't get it. It's like the no fun league. So I understand if it's ridiculous and they're doing the boxcar five high flip every time they score a touchdown. But, you know, that's the whole thing of watching football. It's supposed to be fun. So I think they're really taking the fun out of the game. Why are they pushing this excessive celebrating? Let people celebrate if they get a touchdown. Don't we really live in the look at me world, show me world right now? So if somebody wants to let off a little excitement when they score, let them do it. Let them do it. It's the NFL doesn't need to be worried about that. They need to be worried about other things like head injuries with what they're doing to the players. What the players are doing and what's happening and how rough it is on the field. And that's football, man. I've stood there. It's like two freight trains hitting each other on the line. But the concern, I think, should be over head injuries and what happens to these players when they get out of the game and keeping players out that have head injuries. Now, some teams have gotten a lot better at that, but these crazy hits that happen and somebody has their bell rung, and then you see these unbelievable stories about them as they fall into Parkinson's or other brain things that happen to them because of what happened during their career. I almost think they should limit the amount of concussions, although they certainly don't, at this point they don't want to do it. It's like Troy Aikman when he played with the Dallas Cowboys had like 7 concussions. He was smart enough to get out of the game on top after he won a fistful of Super Bowl rings. Any thoughts on the show? You can always send them to me and social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. You can hook up with us, americatonight.net, plus things you missed on the show and other things like blogs and whatnot. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've witnessed that a lot of illness can be linked to toxins and deficiencies combined. Improving your liver function and restoring your cells' ability to detoxify is essential to achieving radiant health. Listen to the real-world results of Doug and his wife after taking One World Way.
My name is Doug Didero. For years, I had an ongoing rash with itching around my eyes. This was due to metal dust particles landing on my face in the workplace. After being on One World Way for 2 weeks, I began to have a severe rash and itching sensation around my eyes. This rash and itching lasted for 5 weeks and is now 100% gone. Additionally, without extra exercise, I've also increased my muscle size, and my wife has lost weight and gained a more attractive figure.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.